Well, good morning. We are so incredibly excited that you are here with us as we dive into part two of this series that we are calling The Grudge. And whether you're here for the very first time or you're back for the 100th time or maybe you're checking us out online for the very first time, we believe with all of our hearts that you are here on the perfect weekend. And this is why. Because we are in the middle of a series that revolves around a topic that has the potential to be transformative in our lives and in our relationships. But as soon as we bring out that word transformative, what you also should know is this, is that the series we're in the middle of is going to be an incredibly difficult one for every single one of us. Because anything that's transformative is always difficult. You see, we believe that this series has the potential in every single one of our lives. It's why it's relevant. It's why it's powerful to change the direction of our relationships, to change not only the relationships that you have found yourself in that are broken, but every relationship you will walk in your future. You see, the topic we're talking about throughout this series is forgiveness. And every single one of us have walked the path before to know that forgiveness is no easy thing. And yet what you'll hear us say many times around here is this, is that we believe oftentimes the best thing is found on the other side of the most difficult thing. And so this series will be a journey through one of the most difficult things that we will encounter and choose to do throughout our entire lives. You see, what I know about every one of us in the room is this, is that every single one of us have faced this one reality in our lives. And that one reality is this, is that every single one of us have experienced hurt at the hands of another person. Am I right? That every single one of us have been wounded by somebody else. You don't have to be in relationship with someone for more than just a day to realize that within that relationship, there will come moments where you will get hurt. Because we live in a broken world, and the people you're in relationship with are broken people, and newsflash, you are broken as well. I am broken as well. And because of that brokenness, we have this tendency within our relationships to wound each other. We say things we shouldn't say, am I right? We do things we shouldn't do. And those wounds come in small and large ways, sometimes as simple as being gossiped about or talked behind your back, all the way down to some of us are feeling wounds at the hands of other people because they've been unfaithful within their relationship with us, in dating or within marriage, that we've discovered that they've been going and doing these things behind our back. Or maybe for some of us, we're experiencing the wounds of abuse in our lives, that it may have been physical, or emotional, or for some of us, even sexual. And we find ourselves in the midst of those wounds wondering how we move forward. Because what we've experienced time and time again, if we were to get honest enough with ourselves, is that those wounds that are created at the hands of other people oftentimes turn into grudges. This festering bitterness inside of us that grows over time. This anger that we carry around. And if we were to get honest enough and be transparent enough, what we'd be forced to admit is this, is that every grudge of our life isn't simply contained within the confines of that one relationship. It always spreads out into every other relationship of our lives. Am I right? That it affects the way we dive into relationship with other people because I've been hurt before in this way, and so I'm not going to trust someone else to allow myself to go too far in that relationship that I may get hurt in the same way I was hurt before. This person did this to me once, and so I'm never going to be in a relationship like that before. And the grudges of our life aren't just unhealthy because they affect one relationship. The grudges of our life are unhealthy because they have the potential to affect every relationship for the rest of our lives. That's why this series has such transformative power, not just in our present, but in our future, to determine the course and the direction that we go from this day forward in every relationship we enter into, and in every way our heart and those wounds on our heart are capable of healing from this day forward. You see, when Jesus came and he walked on this earth, there was this moment where he looked around at his 12 disciples, these 12 dudes who had been following him day after day. And what he saw was this. He saw 12 stories of 12 guys whose past had been full of wounds and hurt. Stories that are similar to yours and mine. And he looked at their lives and not just looked into their past, but also looked into their future and saw guys that would walk through hurt in their future and wounds at the hands of other people. If you know anything about the story of the disciples, after Jesus left, they faced way more persecution and hurt and wounds and backstabbing than when he was actually here on earth, simply because they chose to follow this guy. And what Jesus also saw was this. Is that because of the wounds that they will suffer at the hands of other people, each of these 12 guys are likely to create grudges against other people and withhold the very thing that I am calling them to give freely to a world that desperately needs it. This morning, we're going to pick up that very story in the book of Luke, chapter 17. If you haven't done so already, this is a perfect opportunity for you to grab that weekly. It's what you got when you came in, and to pull the notes page out of the middle of it that we've designed specifically for you. It'll help you follow along as we move through the text, or if that's not your style, everything will come up on the screen as well. But here is what Jesus shares with his disciples as he looks at the wounds they will encounter in their life and the likelihood of them holding on to the grudges against other people. Starting in verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come." This was another driving home. Many of you have heard the passage where Jesus says, "In this life you will have trouble." He didn't just say it once. He said it over and over again. Here he says it again. Things that cause trouble in your life are bound to come. There will be this likelihood for every single one of us as humanity to hold on to grudges, to hold on to unforgiveness in our lives. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. And this is where all the disciples in this moment are like, "All right, Jesus, we see how much you love. We see what you're doing. All right, I think we can be good with one. If someone wrongs us once, we're good with, we'll go approach them. If they say, 'I'm sorry,' then we'll forgive them and we'll let them go." And that's good, right? Because if they go past that, then it's on them, right? The disciples were kind of like that, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me," that sort of thing. And Jesus saw through that and he addressed it immediately. Check this out. "Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." When the disciples heard what Jesus was calling them to in their lives when it came to this thing called forgiveness, do you know what their response is? This is so good. And so often we overlook just how powerful this statement is by the disciples. The apostles said to the Lord, "Then, Lord, increase our faith." You know what the disciples were saying in this moment? "That doesn't make sense. So help us to see this from a standpoint of faith. Help us to see what everybody else doesn't see in this. Help us to be able to do this because we see the long game instead of just the short term. The short term says, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't feel right. I don't want to do it. The long term says, this is what's best for my life and my heart and my relationships. God, give us enough faith to see the long game in our relationships and when it comes to forgiveness." You see, last week we kicked off this series by talking about this reality, and Russell did such an incredible job at launching this series, about talking about this reality in every single one of our lives, that we need to let go of the small stuff, that our life is too short and our calling too great for us to be offended by the small things. And yet what many of us would acknowledge is this, is when it comes to the small offenses of our life, if given enough time, we will eventually realize that that small offense isn't worth the mental and emotional equity that we're giving it, right? Like letting go of the small offenses over time, at some point we will become mature enough to just let it go and enough time will pass that it will go by. But yet what we're also forced to admit is this, is yes, maybe the small offenses we can let go of, but Ben, the really big things, those aren't let go of oh so easily, am I right? That when I'm hurt in a deep way and the wound cuts deep, those are things that I don't get over so quickly. Those are things that I can't just brush aside and continue to move forward. Those are things that fester inside of me and grow and become this cancer inside of my soul, inside of my heart that just spreads. And I don't know how to get over it. You see, many of us, it's like vacuuming the carpet. And some of you, you're going to see my perfectionist tendencies in what I'm about to tell you. Y'all ever vacuumed your carpet before and there's like that one little piece of paper or that little rock that it doesn't matter like how many times you tend to go over it or what direction you go over it from, you just cannot get that thing up, right? Every weekend before y'all get here, I go through the building one last time and do one last sweep of the building. And maybe you've noticed in our entranceway and coming into the auditorium here, we have these rugs that have these square grooves throughout them. And every so often with those square grooves, they're supposed to be great at trapping water, but you know what else they trap? Those little tiny things that you just can't get out. And it's like, I'm gonna go this direction, I gotta get that thing. Somebody's gonna see that one little white spot down there, and I gotta make sure I get it. Okay, I'll go harder. And maybe it's as fast. Okay, maybe it's slower. And I just can't seem to get it. And this is how much of a perfectionist I am. Some of y'all are going to relate to this. When I can't get it, I reach down and pick that thing up and I look at it and then I put it back down. Like, I've got to get this thing. This thing will not get the best of me. And you see, we laugh, but the reality is that some of us are doing that in the relationships of our lives. That we have this wound that has been created and we don't know how to sweep it up. We've tried every angle, and I've tried anger, and I've tried bitterness, and I've tried getting them back, and I've tried saying mean, underhanded comments to them, and I've tried repaying an eye for an eye, and I've tried talking behind their back and bashing them to other people, and nothing seems to work. Nothing seems to be able to help me get that thing out of my life. And Jesus looks at us, and he says, if you really want to sweep that up, put it back down and try sweeping it in this way. He gives this instruction in Matthew chapter 5. You've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. The old way of sweeping up that piece of paper in your life and in your relationships was just to repay evil for evil. The old law says an eye for an eye, but I'm setting a new precedent. And some of y'all are like me, all right? We're messed up individuals. And I'm like, okay, right about now, I kind of like the old law, right? Like, I'll go for the repayment one. I kind of like that one. Like, let's get them back. Let's make them feel the same amount of pain that I have felt. And the only part of that I can really get on, God, is to pray for my enemies. I think I can do that. Like, God, would you please give all my enemies hemorrhoids? Like, I can pray in that way, right? But going past that, why in the world would you ask me to take this step? Why would you ask me to forgive someone who has obviously done something so wrong to me? It seems impossible for me to love those who have hurt me. And yet just a few books later, Paul doubles down. And he says this in Ephesians chapter 4. Instead, you know what that word means? Instead of the way you always do it, here's how you should do it. Be kind to each other. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. And this part right here is where we got to put our seatbelt on. Because this one's going to be tough. This is hard to swallow. This is where it hits us right between the eyes. Forgive one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Forgive them like Christ has forgiven you. This is where it forces us to look in the mirror and admit this fact. I am broken. I'm messed up. I have made mistakes. And in the very moment where I was making mistakes, while I was still a sinner, it's such an incredible passage that's written in the New Testament. While we were still sinners, you know what that means? While we were still actively choosing to turn our back on God, Christ died for us. Christ forgave us. Christ made it right. And you know what Paul's saying? Yeah, go and do that. follow that example. In the very moment where other people are wronging you or turning their back on you, act as if Christ acted and forgive them in that moment. Act kind, be tender-hearted, be full of grace, and be full of mercy. Isn't that incredible? But Jesus doesn't just leave it at that. He says, hey, if you're still not getting it quite yet, let me pile this on top for you all. Just a few passages later, after the one we read where he kind of rewrites the law, and he says, the old law says you should love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies, pray for them. He writes this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. This passage makes this truth clear. That the level of forgiveness we received is directly dependent upon the amount of forgiveness we give. Hello. Y'all okay? The forgiveness we get is dependent upon the forgiveness that we give in this life. That's what we're being called to. And there's this incredible parable that Jesus tells in the Gospels. It's a parable about a king and a servant. And this king has given a loan to a servant. English translations translate it out to over $1 million. He's given a loan. And there comes a point in the servant's life where he can no longer make the payments on this loan. And so the king calls this servant into his palace. And as he puts him there before him and begins to ask him the questions about the repayment of the loan, this servant pleads for his life and pleads for the king to forgive his debt. And the king agrees. And he forgives him of this massive debt in his life. And as the servant is thanking him, he stands up from the palace and he walks back out into the streets. And the first thing that he does is he goes and finds another servant who owes him a small amount of money. And what we'd all think is this, right? Well, the story ends, he's been forgiven of something huge. He's going to go find another servant that owes him something small, and he's going to forgive that small thing because he's been forgiven of something big. You know what the servant does? He demands that the other man repay the small debt and has him thrown into prison until he can repay the debt. And the story ends in not a great light. When the king learns of what the servant has done to the other servant, he brings the first servant back into his palace. And he questions him on why he has been forgiven of so much and he can't forgive somebody else. And he says, off to the dungeon with you. You can be tortured until you repay your debt. You see, I think what some of us don't realize is this, is that in this particular parable, we get a story of physical torture, but in our lives, when we withhold forgiveness, we are putting ourselves through emotional, mental, and even spiritual torture. That we are holding on to things and giving things power in our lives that were never meant to have power. And it's torturing us. It's eating our lunch. It's killing us from the inside out, the grudges and the bitterness and the anger that we have allowed to fester there for far too long. We've had our past wiped clean, but we find the same trouble that this servant found in our relationships with others. We find trouble in wiping the slate clean in our relationships with other people. But the question that many of us ask is this. But Ben, don't you realize that I've tried sweeping it up from every angle and I just can't get that out of the grains of my life? What do I do? Where do I start? How do I begin to move towards forgiveness that overcomes the grudges and the bitterness and the anger? Well, for many of us, the place in which we need to start in moving towards forgiveness is by first understanding what forgiveness is not. You see, what we first must know is this, is that forgiveness is not forgetting. You see, I think for far too many of us, we've had this belief for a really long time that forgiving somebody else is giving them clearance to do this same thing again to us. That we've heard this term thrown around way too long in our life. You forgive and forget. And we think those two terms are synonymous with each other. And the reality is, no, they're not. Those are two different things and two different choices. Just because we forgive somebody doesn't mean that we don't put up boundaries from that point forward to make the relationship healthier as we move forward. Just because we forgive that person doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge what they did was wrong and recognize that there are steps that need to be taken in order for the trust to be rebuilt so that our relationship can begin to move back in the right direction and become what it used to be. Forgiving is not forgetting. Those are two separate things that do not have to be synonymous and in conjunction with each other. But forgiveness also is not fair. We have to recognize that forgiveness is also not fair. And it's certainly not natural for us as humanity. See, forgiveness is rarely what the other person deserves. What they did was not right. What they did was hurtful. What they did should not have been done. And the fair treatment would be what the Old Testament tells us. An eye for an eye, that's fair. Give them back what they gave you. Get even. That's what fair is. Fair is holding a grudge. Fair is feeling bitterness. Fair is constant anger that tears us up on the inside. Fair is the regret that comes with doing something hurtful to the other person and then later on recognizing that even when I did something hurtful to them, it didn't fix the pain that I'm feeling inside of me. That's what fair is. And we always want fair. Hang on, y'all. Until we're confronted with the reality of what fair looks like in light of our wrong mistakes. What fair consequences should be on our eternity. You want fair? You don't want to know the other side of the story of what fair really looks like for my eternity. If I were to get what was fair, it's not a pretty picture. And yet God isn't always calling us to be fair. Why? Because God isn't always fair. He's always just, but he isn't always fair. We have a God who knew that in order to love us in the way we needed to be loved, he couldn't always give us what was fair. And to some of us who have grown up in the church all of our lives, that statement rocks your world. That our God isn't fair, and he's not asking you to be fair all the time either. And I love what David writes on the heels of his mistake with Bathsheba and the adultery that he committed and the way in which he betrayed his country, betrayed the ones that he loved, betrayed his God. In the aftermath of that, here's what David realized. This is so incredible. In Psalm 103, he writes, "He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west." Forgiveness isn't fair. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. But what forgiveness is what we've outlined in every passage that we've read up until this point. The step that we are being called to take is simply this. Forgiveness is giving others what God gave us. It's a willingness to give to others in our lives what God freely gave us. And you're saying, but Ben, what does it look like? What did God really give me? Well, John, one of his disciples, lays it out perfectly when he writes this in 1 John chapter 1. "But if we confess our sins to him," you know what John's saying? It's as simple as this. If you just say, "God, I was wrong. I made mistakes. I can't fix this on my own." You know what God's response to that is? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. See, I don't know if we've realized this collectively or not, but the message of the gospel isn't just about receiving forgiveness. The message and the hope of the gospel is also about giving forgiveness. Forgiveness was never meant to be something that just flows to us. Forgiveness was always meant to be something that flows through us. And so the question this morning is this: how's your flow? And we already talked about hemorrhoids, so we might as well continue down that path. This message is your spiritual laxative. For you to recognize the forgiveness we have been given was not something that was given to us just to remain inside of me, just to be for me to keep. No, it was meant to be something that I receive, and in turn I pass it on to the rest of the world who desperately needs to see the love and the hope and the grace and the mercy and the truth of Christ through me and the way in which I offer what he offered to me. That's what we're called to. That's the hope of the gospel being lived out in broken, messed up human beings like me and broken, messed up human beings like you. That's how people come to see and receive the hope of Christ, by whether or not we are willing to allow that forgiveness to flow through us to a broken, hurting world. And when the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him this question, "Jesus, we don't even know how to pray correctly. Could you show us how to pray?" Jesus gave them something that was called, or what we know now as, the Lord's Prayer. But have you ever really paid attention to some of the lines in the Lord's Prayer? Like, if you're anything like me, sometimes when I read some of the lines, I'm like, I don't know that I really want to pray the Lord's Prayer. Because there's this one line right in the middle that says, "Lord, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Do you know what that means? God, forgive me in the same measure that I am willing to forgive others. That don't sound so good anymore. I don't know that I like that so much anymore. God, give me what I have freely given away to others. That was right there. And what Jesus was asking us to consistently pray. Why? To remind ourselves that forgiveness is essential in our lives, in our futures, and in our relationships. You see, there's a reason why God asked me to forgive others. Even when they've done something heinous and unacceptable, there is one reason why God asks us to forgive other people. He loves you. You're like, "Whoa, Ben. No. You're not going to fool me with that one. He's asking me to do something that's nearly impossible and that's hard and that isn't fair and that isn't natural because he loves me. Why would he ask me to do something like that if he really loves me?" Because here's what God knows. Forgiveness really isn't solely for the healing of the other person. Forgiveness is the first step towards healing yourself. And I want your heart to heal. I want your soul to heal and be healthy. But the only way you can do that is if you begin to take steps towards forgiveness. And I get it, it isn't easy. We don't have to look any further than that first passage where Jesus lays this out to the disciples to know they recognize this ain't going to be easy. This is going to be darn near impossible for us to do. Why do we get that from that first passage? Because they responded in this way: if we're going to do that, you're going to have to increase our faith. We've got to have bigger faith than what we presently have. And you know what the disciples were asking for in that moment? "God, help us see what nobody else sees. God, increase my faith, because faith does this." Faith is the key ingredient that enables me to see an opportunity for freedom when everybody else sees an offense. Faith gives me the perspective of seeing that in forgiveness, there is an opportunity for freedom when everybody else can only focus on the offense. And the thing that blocks me from a faith that sees the long game, from a faith that sees what God is really trying to do in my life and in my heart by asking me to forgive, the thing that blocks me from doing that most often is that so often I operate from my feelings. Any of y'all with me on that? It's the reason why I consistently have to practice. When I get hurt, when I get wronged, do not respond immediately. Because my immediate response is going to be solely out of emotion. It's going to be solely out of my feelings. And I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. I'm going to get even. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to say something that's really witty and that cuts them below the waist. That's what my feelings do. That's what my emotions do. And some of us, as we hang on to that in our relationships and in our forgiveness, we allow that to drive this response. Well, I'll forgive them when I feel like forgiving them. When enough time has passed and there's been enough distance created, then maybe someday I'll feel like letting it go and I'll actually be able to do that. But catch this. To live the best life possible and follow Christ in the best way possible, our faith must activate long before our feelings. To live the best life possible and be the best Christ follower possible, our faith must activate long before our feelings. That's what we're being called to. Those are the steps that lead to the best life and the healthiest relationships in our future. But this morning, as we finish, can I just talk to one maybe very small group of people in the room? And maybe just use what you're walking through as an example. You see, for a very small group of people in this room, right now you find yourself in the midst of a relationship with your spouse that maybe the softest way to describe it is that it's struggling. Maybe you'd use much harsher words than that. But you find yourself struggling in that relationship that you live in the same household as that person, sleep in the same bed as that person, and you're struggling because that person has done some hurtful things to you, and they keep saying the same things that they shouldn't say, or they keep going to that site that they know they shouldn't be going to, and it's betraying your trust, or maybe they've been unfaithful. And when we look at the Old Testament, what we get is this reality. That within the context of our marriage, unfaithfulness is grounds for divorce, right? That's what's laid out in the Old Testament. Unfaithfulness is grounds for divorce. But what I also believe with all of my heart is this, is that unfaithfulness and hurt and gossiping and backstabbing and wounds are also grounds for forgiveness. Now, what that doesn't mean is this. It doesn't mean we acknowledge what they did is right. It doesn't mean we just overlook what they did and we continue to allow them to do those things. It doesn't mean any of that. It doesn't mean we fail to start creating some healthy boundaries that keep them or us collectively from going down that same path. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that we become people who are willing to take steps in the direction of healing for our own hearts, our own relationships, our own futures. Not because it's easy, not because it's fair, but because it's what we need. It's what our Creator knew we needed. And maybe what keeps us stuck in the place we're at, withholding that forgiveness and holding on to the grudge, is because we keep asking the wrong question. In those moments where we've been wounded, we keep asking the question, how much forgiveness do they deserve? You see, that's not the right question. The right question is, how much freedom do I desire? Because forgiveness is this step that allows that thing in my life, the way in which I've been wronged, that I'm chained to, that just continues to allow the anger and the bitterness and the ugliness to fester in my life, and it continues to spread into every other relationship and every other interaction. Those things that we're withholding forgiveness from, they have been in power in our lives for far too long. And this is the moment for us to recognize that letting go of those things creates freedom in our lives and gives control back where control is supposed to be had. Stop letting those wrongs control your life and your future, and begin to walk towards forgiveness that lets your heart off the hook, not just theirs. You see, forgiveness won't change what they did in the past, but I promise you, it can change what you do in your future. God is calling us to bold and courageous steps for the sake of our futures, for the sake of a world that desperately needs us to model something differently. He's calling us to allow our faith to activate in those moments of hurt. Even when our feelings say we should do something totally opposite, even when our feelings say this isn't fair, for us to trust forgiveness. For us to believe that oftentimes in our lives and in our relationships, the healthiest thing is found on the other side of the most difficult thing. Would you pray with me? Father, it was no accident that we chose to do communion right smack dab in the middle of this series. Because what better way to see an example of what we are called to than to celebrate the gift of forgiveness that your Son gave us on a cross almost 2,000 years ago? It wasn't fair. It wasn't what we deserved. And yet you gave it anyways. And God, in turn, you're calling us with that gift to reach back out into this world and to not just allow that forgiveness to flow to us, but to allow that forgiveness to flow through us into our relationships, into the people that we love, into the people who don't deserve it, who have wronged us, who have turned their back on us, and to begin to extend a hand of forgiveness, not for them, but for our own hearts. For us to be released from the power and experience freedom from the grudges and the anger and the bitterness that have held on so tightly to our lives and our hearts for too long. God, may this be the day where we become individuals who are courageous and brave enough to do what isn't natural, to do what isn't fair. How? Because you did it for us first. Because you gave us what we didn't deserve and what wasn't fair. We thank you for that. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. This morning, before you go, I want to take just this last minute to challenge you one last time. And I know you're going to hear this over and over over the course of the next couple of weeks. But if you heed this challenge now, you can tune out over the course of the next couple of weeks. See, I believe with all of my heart that we have an incredible opportunity as a church on August 1st. An incredible opportunity to be known more for what we're for than what we're against. In a time in our world where it seems like every voice speaking up simply wants to communicate what they're against, this world desperately needs something different. And one of the easiest ways that we can do that is by swinging a hammer for a few hours or delivering cookies, cutting somebody's hair, or giving away produce, by stepping into local businesses and fixing up their storefronts or washing their windows,
That we can communicate to our city that we're a church that stands for something different and is willing to put our money where our mouth is and to get outside of our four walls to consistently reach further into our city and further into our world. But to do that well, we can't do it without you. And we need you. We are better with you. With whatever skills you bring to the table, you make this day even better. And so I'm challenging you to this. While it's fresh on your mind, today is the day. Get registered. Today is the day. Clear your schedules for August 1st to make sure that you're a part of communicating this message that desperately needs communicated and stand for Shelby. We've even put a registration stand out in the lobby by the connections booth that if you don't have a smartphone or the internet at home or you just need a little bit of help, that we would love to help you out there. Next week, we continue with part 3 of this series. And we're going to be shifting a little bit, but it's going to be an incredible shift. Next week, we're going to be talking about this topic of forgiving God. And some of you are all like, wait, what? God doesn't do anything wrong, right? God never sins, so how do we forgive God? Well, while that's true, what I'm willing to guess, if you're anything like me, is this. Is that there have been moments of our lives and circumstances we've walked through where we feel like God hasn't given us a fair shake. And we've begun to create grudges in our relationship with Him and create some distance in our relationship with Him. And next week is going to be this incredible turn where we learn how to process through that and move through those grudges that we hold against God. And so it's a week that you are not going to want to miss, a week your family and even some friends in your life who may be holding on to some grudges against God because of their circumstances are not going to want to miss. Again, thanks so much for being here this morning. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We hope to see you soon.